Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast today. Today is Monday, September 20th, the official start of the fall season, and it's nice to have some cooler weather. But for me, I'm the yard guy, and that means cleaning and raking and chewing up leaves with the lawnmower for the next 2 months. A lot of fun and a lot of work. Today on the broadcast, I want to focus in on a terrible tragedy. It's a one-year anniversary of when the evil and corrupt Iranian government executed the all-star wrestler Navid Afkari. Navid Afkari. Recently, there was an article in CNN Breaking U.S. and World News Report written by Don Riddell and Ben Church. It's a very good article. It's about Navid's mother. The title of the article, Executed Iranian Wrestler Navid Afkari Still Offers Message of Freedom, Says Mother. There's something very special about Navid's mother. She's facing such a crisis with two of her other sons in prison, and as well, they are on death row. I want to read this to you. I want you to get a sense of her feeling as she goes through this difficult time, especially in this one-year anniversary of remembrance. She says she still has no peace over a year since her son's death. She is aware. That is, her name is Bahia Namju. Bahia Namju, Navid's mother, says she is aware of the dangers that come with speaking out against the Iranian government. She's aware of it, but she insists she is determined to maintain her son's legacy and help her other two sons get out of prison. Here's what she says. Bahia says, my motivation for speaking out is for my two sons, who have now been in prison for a year in Adalabad prison. And she did this on a video call from Iran during the first year anniversary of Navid's death. She goes on to say, the situation has taken control of our lives. We are emotionally and mentally drained. We have no peace, none of us. My daughter, myself, my children, my other two children, we have no peace. I mean, our days and nights have turned into all dark nights. You understand? We are not living at all. Back on September 12th of last year, 2020, Navid Afkari was hanged for a crime that his family, friends, and human rights activists say he didn't commit. According to the official version of events, he killed Hassan Torkman, a water company security employee that was during a protest in Shiraz back on August the 2nd, 2018. Now, those close to him acknowledged that he attended the protest. He was there, saying he was troubled by discrimination against women and the poor. But his supporters say that his trial was devoid of any compelling evidence against him. Afkari and his brother Vahid were arrested a month and a half later on September 17th, according to the UN, and another brother, Habib, was rounded up later that year. Both of Afkari's brothers were convicted of charges in relation to events at protests, and Vahid was deemed to have been, quote, accessory to murder. That's according to Amnesty. Navid was condemned to death, while Vahid and Habib received prison sentences of more than 35 and 15 years, respectively. All of them were to be punished with 74 lashes each. Now, initially, and this is how it goes in Iran, these forced confessions, these staged trials that the government concocts without any evidence, without any access to lawyers. Initially, under torture, Afkari confessed to the crime, but in court, he retracted those words, arguing that he had been tortured, as I mentioned, during his interrogation, and that a false confession has been forced out of him. Leaked audio clips from the trial last year revealed Navid defiantly challenging the judge, inspiring other athletes to speak out against the Iranian government. An action group, United for Navid, now works on keeping his voice alive. Iranian athletes say they often fear for their lives when speaking out about social and political issues, while sportswomen are sometimes participating due to fundamentalists limiting women's freedoms and imposing an interpretation of Islamic law, which in turn restricts their ability to compete. In Iran, political activists and their families are routinely intimidated, arrested, and can even be executed. Afkari was one of at least 267 people who were executed last year in Iran, the year 2020. The Iranian government has repeatedly said that Afkari was not tortured and that his confession wasn't forced. In June, CNN asked the government if he received a fair trial, but has still not received a response. Namju, that is Afkari's mother, says the support from other athletes has been a good feeling and says it's though Navid had been brought back to life as a result of their voices. Navid's message is the message of freedom. Anyone who comes to Navid's grave says the same thing. Navid means freedom. Many people, well, they come to pay their respects to Navid, and they say things to us like, Navid was born one time in your home, but he was born again many times over in the hearts of Iranians all over the world. But after her youngest son was executed and her two other sons in prison in what she says is solitary confinement, Navid's mother wants action. Many human rights groups have advocated for better treatment of Iranians, but Namju says written statements alone won't save her family. So many human rights authorities and organizations gave so many statements saying that my kids have not committed any crimes and nothing happened. It had no effect, she says. They killed my baby, innocent. They took his youth and killed him without telling us anything, without us even knowing anything. Is there anyone who can come to my aid and help me? Is there anyone who will hear my voice? Who will save my children? My son Habib's newlywed wife of 3 years is still waiting for him. Is there anyone out there who can save him? Is there anyone in this world who will hear my voice? Or is this all just talk? You could understand Navid's mother's frustration. Do you know what? Her voice, her frustration reminds me when Rahane Jabari was in prison. She had been raped and she defended herself against a rapist by stabbing him. And they had tried so many times to get her to change her story. And I remember in the first prison letter that Rahane wrote, she says, is there anyone who can hear my voice and feel my pain? And of course I did. And that's why I wrote her story. So when I hear Navid's mother asking, crying out, lamenting this, it reminds me of what so many Iranian women go through when they lose a son or a daughter. I want to turn our attention now to a story that has been such a blessing to me, a story of great courage. I have written Mehdi Rajabian stories in my books, Shout Freedom and Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. Both of his stories are in my books. He had been busy when I wrote these stories, creating an album with other musicians all over the world called Middle Eastern. Very successful, beautifully composed. And now, once again, he is defying the government, who swears they will put him in prison again for creating another musical project. But you have to know something about Mehdi. He isn't afraid. He says, I do not think about the consequences of producing a work of art, and I am ready for any consequences. He has a new project out, and I want to talk about that today. Just this past Friday, it was released by Sony Music. Once again, defying a prohibition that reportedly landed him in prison for 2 years, way, way long ago, but still, it was 8 years ago, but still he's defying them. He has captured the interests of American producer Harvey Mason Jr., who serves as president and CEO of the Grammys. Mason is releasing Rajabian's album, Coup of Gods, under his own label. I just thought it was beautiful, Mason said of Rajabian's music. Mason told Fox News that when Rajabian shared his music, quote, I was really excited and thought the music was amazing and so artistically special and really compelling. Rajabian's latest album serves in part as a reflection on the suffering he endured while under detention. After one of his arrests in 2015, he went on a 40-day hunger strike that inspired the first track on his new album, which is called, quote, What on a Lifeless Body. Peace is the narrator of a human body that no longer has a physical presence, Mehdi told Sky News. The feeling is for the time when I was on a hunger strike between earth and sky, between life and death, between the living and dead. On the 29th day of the hunger strike, I opened my eyes that morning, and I did not know whether I was alive or dead, or in earth or in heaven. I was in a trance. It was a strange, strange feeling. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard arrested Rajabian in 2013 when his recording studio violated a prohibition on female singers. Coup of Gods, an apparent redeclaration of that rebellion, features vocals from two American women, Digital Music News reported. And by the way, it's terrific. I'm so glad he got the final word on that. Announcing the album last year prompted 90 days of solitary confinement that seems to have wounded but also emboldened the 31-year-old dissident. After every darkness, there is a light, Mehdi says. I am optimistic about the future. A return to prison seems imminent as he's reportedly under a 3-year suspended sentence that could easily be reactivated. The trial that preceded his 2015 arrest lasted only a few minutes. He and his brother were found guilty of, quote, spreading propaganda against the system and insulting the sacred music. However, is a necessity that Rajabian says warrants sacrifice, quote, I do not think about the consequences of producing a work of art, and I'm ready for the consequences. He said that in an interview to BBC. They can imprison me again. I will also write music in prison as I wrote before. Music will not stop under any circumstance. Previously, Mehdi told Fox News, quote, solitary confinement kills one's soul and the hunger strike kills one's body, which I experienced both. I went on two separate hunger strikes. The last one lasted for more than a month where I lost 33 pounds and my body suffered damage of which I'm still trying to cure. Rajabian's suffering has impacted both the content and the production of his music. BBC reported that his hunger strike left him with swollen joints that prevented him from playing his own music. Musicians around the world have filled in the gaps, producing songs by Rajabian and sending them back to the basement where he's been hiding in northern Iran. Fox News's Holly McKay, who's in Afghanistan right now, contributed to this report on Fox News. Well, it's only appropriate right now that we feature the title track from Mehdi's latest project. This is entitled Coup of Gods. Title track from Mehdi Rajabian's latest project called coup of gods. If you were to compare Middle Eastern to coup of gods, there's an amazing difference. Of course, there's the number of musicians from all over the world featured on Middle Eastern. It's really creative. It has a message of human rights and peace for the Middle East, thus the title Middle Eastern. On this particular project, there are four songs, about 34 minutes total length. Three of the four songs are over 9 minutes long. They're long pieces. And the difference in this project, I think, is the intensity and the emotion that you feel when you listen to these songs, especially about the song where he's describing his own suffering in solitary confinement on the hunger strike. And you have to listen carefully, but it becomes so apparent that Mehdi has an ability to communicate the suffering. He's speaking for the suffering, not only of himself, but of all Iranians. In this project, you're going to feel that suffering that the Iranian people endure. Please support Mehdi. He's an incredible artist that has received worldwide recognition, oftentimes from his prison cell in Iran. Right now, he's in kind of the strait betwixt, because he knows that doing these projects can land him back in prison. But again, he's not afraid. He's courageous. Nothing is going to stop his music. His music is his greatest weapon. I want to transition right now from Iran into Afghanistan, and I want to talk about the latest blog on my Cross in the Desert website that I just finished writing. It's entitled "The Long, Slow Death of Afghan Women Under Taliban Rule." I don't think in my lifetime I have ever witnessed anything that just angers me more than this. When I see that my own country, under the Biden administration, betrayed the original agreement that Trump had, that if the Taliban were to hurt one of our soldiers, they would be annihilated. President Trump had a specific conditional plan to first evacuate citizens and evacuate American citizens, and then the military would be the last to leave. And it's sad that the Biden administration completely scrapped his plan, and there are still many Americans trapped behind Afghan lines. Some of them have been taken out by very special ops groups. Some of them, as we speak, are being departed, are being released, if you will, and are being evacuated now. But the fact is, you never leave your own people behind. This president has failed us in so many dramatic, unconscionable ways. But in one other way that he has failed us is the oppressive treatment of women, leaving the Afghan women with no one to defend them. For 20 years, they had a measure of freedom, and now they don't. And so I entitled my latest blog, "The Long, Slow Death of Afghan Women Under Taliban Rule." When the U.S. military finally pulled out of Afghanistan on August 30th, 2021, they not only abandoned billions of dollars worth of valuable equipment that became a gift for the enemy, but they also left behind thousands of American citizens, including Afghan women. For 20 years, Afghan women had enjoyed a new life of freedom where they could go to school, have regular jobs, vote in elections, and be a productive part of society without the stigma of being treated as second-class citizens. However, on August 31st, 2021, all of that drastically changed. The Taliban marched into villages and cities and once again assumed their oppressive power. Christians immediately became targets of their terrorism and were hunted down and executed on the spot if Bibles were discovered on their cell phones. Women feared for their lives and began dressing once again in full-length burqas in order to escape from being beaten or killed. Despair filled their hearts as they realized that their jobs would soon be terminated and they would become prisoners once again in their own homes, Reports began circulating claiming that the Taliban were going to be more lenient this time and give more rights to women. Well, however, that rumor was soon put to rest when a local female police officer that was 6 months pregnant was executed in front of her children and husband. In the midst of this unforgettable nightmare and chaos created by the incompetent Biden administration, the State Department publicly admitted their shock that the new Taliban government did not include any women. Quote, "We have made clear our expectation that the Afghan people deserve an inclusive government," a State Department spokesperson proclaimed. Are you kidding me? Do you really believe that a group of terrorists care about some politically correct inclusion? Do you really believe that they changed the rules of Sharia law to accommodate women? What planet are you living on, sir? The so-called rumors of a gentler, kinder Taliban, well, they're completely false. Women will not be permitted to work. Girls can no longer go to school or leave their homes without a male escort. You're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy. Veteran war correspondent and a reporter, Laura Logan, a regular guest on Fox News, believes that the Taliban will put a small number of women in prominent roles, such as doctors, only in order to create a false image to the media that they have really changed. For people like Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, who holds out that the new government will recognize the basic rights of his people, including women and girls, this new image for him is going to be very believable. He will swallow it hook, line, and sinker. It's a slow, long death if you're unlucky. If you're lucky, you'll be slaughtered quickly, Laura Logan says with tears in her eyes. This is what life is like for women under Taliban rule. Is there any hope for Afghan women? Are they really destined to be like sheep taken out to be slaughtered? Well, I'm a person of prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. I have seen God do amazing things for my Iranian refugee friends in response for the prayers of many people. The Bible teaches that God is committed to the welfare of the oppressed. He is a God that rescues the broken and hurting because human lives are precious to him. Listen to this beautiful promise from Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. This is the God I know. He hears the cries of the oppressed and will deliver them. He understands the suffering of the Afghan women because he took on human flesh in Christ and lived among us. During his earthly ministry, Jesus showed compassion and love toward women. He lifted them up from the gutters of discrimination. When Muslim women discover Jesus in the Gospels and see how he treated women, they are willing to leave Islam in order to follow him. Again, women, you're not alone. God sees your plight, and when we pray, he will act. He hasn't changed. His character of mercy and compassion remains the same. He is a God of irresistible love that wants to lavish his goodness and mercy on us when we pray. The lives of Afghan women are precious to him. I want us now to consider another beautiful promise of Scripture in Revelation 21, verses 3 through 6. The Apostle John records this beautiful vision, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. This is a precious promise to us who are trusting in Christ. This is a promise to everyone who will call upon the name of the Lord, that one day God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death no more. Mourning no more. Crying no more. Pain no more. I am making all things new, God promises. He wants to remind us that these words that he is declaring are trustworthy and true. Many people want to understand the problem of evil. I wrote a book on this subject, and it's entitled Before the Dawn Awakens. And I can tell you basically that there is a purpose in suffering. There is a day of judgment when all evil will be given accountability, when all persons who have perpetuated evil without repentance and faith in God and turning to him for salvation, they will be held accountable. There is a day of reckoning, or a judgment day, when God will stop everything that is evil in this world. He has chosen to allow it to happen now for his purposes. And through this process, he is calling his people to salvation before Christ returns. There is a purpose. God continually brings good out of the evil. He gave us the freedom to choose. If he were to stop that act of freedom, then we would all be robots with no purpose, with no ability to love and choose. But God brings good out of even the evil choices that we make. He has determined a day in which death will be no more. No more mourning, nor crying, nor pain. This will all be taken out of this world forever. And we will live and dwell with our Creator on the new heavens and earth in Revelation 21. I want us to take just a few minutes now and listen to a beautiful composition from Allies that talks about the reality of heaven, that every pain we are now enduring is nothing in comparison to the glory that awaits us. Let's listen. the absolutely beautiful and talented voice of Bob Carlisle, the lead singer for the group Allies, a band in the 80s and 90s. He's still around with us. He's still a talented vocalist, and he's singing a song that should be the yearning of our hearts. Do you have a yearning for intimacy with your God? Do you have a yearning to be free of the suffering and the pain and the chaos and the violence in this world? Do you have a longing for heaven? Remember what God says this morning in the word that we were quoting from, Revelation 21, verses 3 through 6. Behold, I am making all things new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. I will wipe every tear from your eyes, God says. There will be no more mourning, nor crying, nor pain. This is the promise of Scripture. He says, to the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. Come to him. If you do not know Christ this morning, promises us a beautiful promise in John 6:35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. It is the promise that Christ will satisfy the very yearnings and the desires of your heart, to find hope when you're hopeless, to find forgiveness no matter what you have done. The Bible says he will wash away your sins. He will make them, though they were scarlet, white as snow. He takes away your guilt. He takes away all of the anguish of your sinful lifestyle. He gives you a new heart and a new spirit. This is God's promise to you. There is nothing or no one in this world that compares with the treasure of who Jesus is. The Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Greek first and also to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This is the promise of Scripture. This is God inviting you to know him in an intimate way. You come with your arms open, your hands empty, because there is nothing that you and I can do to merit, to earn this great gift of salvation. He has freely lavished his grace upon us. He has freely poured out his mercy. And this morning, if you have a longing in your heart that nothing in this world will satisfy, Jesus will satisfy it. Come, because Christianity, as I've said a million times, is not a religion. It is a love relationship with God through Christ. When you come, you'll never be the same. No matter what sins you bring with you, you cast them on Christ because he willingly takes it. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Come this morning. Find your hope, your freedom, your joy, your purpose in Christ, because he promises to satisfy the longings of your heart and to forgive everything you've done wrong. I hope that this morning you will remember Navid's mother in prayer as she mourns the death of her son and her son's in prison, and also pray for Mehdi in Iran. I want to thank everyone so much for tuning in this morning. I will see you again on Thursday on the Cross in the Desert. Have an incredible, great week.